Praise the Lord. Wow, it's so good to see all of you here. Isn't it a wonderful time here? That we get all blended and we come to know Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. I would like to start in this way. You know, in the eternity past, this all-knowing, almighty, and all-powerful God had a problem. While he is unsearchably rich and eternally perfect, but as far as his feeling is concerned, in himself, he feels lonely. He feels that he needs a match. He feels that he needs a compliment. He feels that he needs a counterpart that will complete him. In other words, our bachelor God desires to get married. That's why, you know, the way you say the Bible is a romance. It's a record of how God wants to court men and eventually marry men. From the beginning of the Bible, he reveals himself as the husband. In the Old Testament, as the husband, and in the New Testament, as the bridegroom. In the beginning, in Genesis, there's a man and a woman becoming one flesh. And in the end of the Bible, in Revelation, we see the Spirit and the bride becoming so one that they speak as one. This lie throughout the entire Bible never deviate. That's why, students, we want to join ourselves to this line. We want to join ourselves to this divine romance. This is the love story of the love stories. This is the romance of the romance. Because this is a divine romance. Any other romance, I don't care if it's fictional or real life. They are only shadows. They're only a portrait of this divine romance. Actually, when I was courting my wife, I told her, just that you know, sorry, you can only be number two. Because God is number one for me. And I hope you had the same realization. Because if I don't love God, if I'm not in this divine romance with God, I have no ability to love you. And same thing, if you don't love the Lord, I don't trust your love toward me. This is a divine romance that we all should participate. Actually, if you look at the Bible, God loves the world. He became a man. He came to court us. The four Gospels in the New Testament, you can see how he came, right? He died for us. He redeemed us. He resurrected for us. He became the life-giving spirit, and he entered into us. And that's why we are believers. But if I can say this in this way, metaphorically, that at that moment when you believe, we're actually engaged to the Lord. That's why in Ephesians says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's why also Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, for I betroth you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. All of us here, we are engaged to Christ. Did you realize that? Okay, for all those people who were engaged before, who are married now or engaged, maybe I'll ask Richard. What's the first question that people ask you when you got engaged, after you got engaged? What's the date, right? When are you getting married? Engagement is just a process. The goal is to get married. I can testify to you, since his engagement, he's been very, very busy. because he has a date, and then this date is coming up, which caused him to have a sense of urgency. Dear students, how about us? What's our feeling concerning our engagement toward Christ? Sometimes we feel, oh, this could take forever. No, we need to have an increase of urgency. Oh, I need to get ready. I need to prepare myself. So in this message, you know, this is a message for bride preparation. How do we prepare ourselves? You know, everyone likes to get straight A's, but no one likes to prepare to study for straight A's. That straight A is wonderful, but it requires a certain amount of time that you get yourself ready. So in this message, well, I would like to share throughout this outline four burdens, and I'd like to state this right now. Now you can write it down. At the end of this message, if you can forget everything I say, but remember these four points. How do we prepare ourselves? Number one, we need to have a fresh love for the Lord. Amen. I'll get back to that later. Number two, we need to be sanctified by separation plus saturation. Amen. Sanctified by separation plus saturation. Okay. And number three, we have to become beautiful by the washing of the water in the Word. The Lord is beautifying us by the washing of the water in the Word. And number four, not only so, we have to be built up as His bride. All right? So these four points. Okay. Okay, let's come back to number one. This is the beginning of this, the burden. As many brothers already share, well, we need to have a fresh love toward the Lord. Saints, how's your love toward the Lord? Okay, how about let's turn to one verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Let's all turn to that verse, and I would like to read you a footnote. Okay, how about let's all read 1 Corinthians 2:9 all together. Got it? Go. But as it is written, things which eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and which have not come up in man's heart, things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For those who love Him. Okay, let's come to the footnote in note 3 of verse 9. Okay? I'll read it to you. To realize and participate in the deep and hidden things that God has ordained and prepared for us require us not only to believe in Him, but also to love Him. To fear God, to worship God, and to believe in God, that is to receive God, are all what? Inadequate. To love Him is the indispensable requirement. To love Him means to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, with a heart, soul, mind, and strength, absolutely on Him. That is to let our entire being be occupied by Him and lost in Him, so that He becomes everything to us, and we're one with Him practically in our daily life. Love Him is the indispensable requirement. We may worship Him, we may believe Him, which also means receive Him. But students, if we want to gain Him, if we want to participate in this divine romance, love is the indispensable requirement. Lord, let's rekindle our love toward You. Actually, many brothers already shared, in a way, you know, we need to be romantic with the Lord. How about every time you spend time with the Lord, that is the time to take a walk with the Lord. Anywhere, as long as we have the Lord's presence. You know, many times we're so religious, in a meeting, we know what to do. Singing, prayer reading, in a religious way. Lord, how about us loving with our fresh love? Loving to a point that we'll forget about everything. We will just fully give ourselves to the Lord. Whether rain or shine. You know, in Vancouver, it's also called Raincouver. A lot of rains. Actually, unfortunately, it's not heavy, but light. Actually, I love walking with the Lord in the light rain of Vancouver. The Lord's presence is just there. How romantic. You know, actually, when I first touched the Lord, I still remember my 20 years ago. It's still fresh today, I can testify. When I first touched the Lord, we just love to come to the meeting. And I remember, just like you all, coming to a conference, talking about divine romance, and I went back. And I told my friend, oh, I'm in love. And then they asked me, oh, who's the girl? And I paused a little bit. Huh. The girl's me. And you're crazy. We need to love the Lord to such extent. We don't care if the people around us. Oh, we just love the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, on the other hand, well, I know some of you may be considering, well, these brothers can love the Lord, others can love the Lord, but I just cannot. I just like to point another verse to you. How about let's turn to Luke chapter 7. The reason that we love the Lord is not that we have the ability to love the Lord. But the story in Luke chapter 7, that there is a woman in a city who was a sinner. Now you can put your name there. There's no name, but put your own name. We all are a sinner like this. With this sinner, she poured out alabaster flecks of ointment. She wiped the Lord's feet. She kissed the Lord's feet. And then these people around, right, were saying, if the Lord would know who and what sort of this woman, you know, because she's a sinner. In verse 39, it says, if he were a prophet, would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. Because she is a sinner. And verse 40, Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Teacher, say it. Okay, verse 41, let's read it together. Okay, 42. Okay, brothers are 43. Okay, notice that Simon answered and said, I suppose. What does this mean? That means he has no subjective experience of forgiveness. I suppose. I guess many of us, maybe our feeling is, yeah, I suppose I should love the Lord. I suppose we should do that, to love the Lord. But later, okay, look at how the Lord said to the woman. Okay, later, let's read, let's go to verse 47. Okay, let's read it all together. Because many are forgiven because she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. Dear saints, the reason we love is because we realize we've been forgiven much. You know, throughout this blending trip, I know some students, they're very interested in the living and conduct of the serving ones. We've been observed how we do things. Maybe at this point, we do love the Lord a little bit more than you do. But if that's the case, that's only because we realize we're such a sinner and we'd experience forgiveness a little bit more than you. That's why we're here. That's why we serve. Because we've been forgiven much. So we love much. Saints, no matter what kind of condition you're in, dear students, it's never too late. Turn to Him. Just as you are. When you experience His forgiveness, you would experience of loving Him. He became so charming. He became so lovely. He became someone that we will pour everything to Him, just like this woman who is a sinner. Praise the Lord. Let's love Him with our whole being. Okay, let's come to the outline. Again, let's read the title of this message, okay? Christ loves and sanctifies the church, right? Roman number 1, let's have all the brothers read. Please highlight, He is the church loving Christ. On the one hand, God loves the world. Right? In Galatians, Paul said that He died, He loved me, and gave Himself up for me. That's very personal. We all need to have such a personal experience with the Lord. To an extent, to realize if you are the only one living on the earth, the Lord will still come and die for you. However, on the other hand, He's also what? The church loving Christ. Because in Ephesians it says, well, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. He gave Himself for the church because He loved His church. Okay, Roman number 2, let's have the sister read. Okay, please highlight, sanctify her. In order that we will match Him, in order we will become His counterpart, we need to be sanctified. Okay, brothers on 8. Okay, please highlight separated from common things. In the Old Testament, when goes outside of the temple, it's common. But when it's been placed into the temple, because of the change of position, it became holy. Just like us, actually, we need to be saved from many, many common things. At the time of our regeneration, positionally, we've been put into Christ. Praise the Lord, we're sanctified in this way. But, okay, let's come to point B. Let's have the sisters read, okay? Right. Please highlight from the world and all that is worldly. Not of God and not for God. There are many things, these verses here listed, 2 Timothy 2:20-22. Actually, maybe let's turn to that portion of verses, and I would like you to start with verse 29. Okay, how about let's have the brothers read chapter 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. Sorry. 19 to 22. Okay, 19, go. However,
the word of God's hand, having been sealed, the Lord knows
You know, if you close pay attention to this verse, the Lord knows those who are His. The Lord knows you. The Lord knows that you belong to Him. However, He needs our cooperation. He says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from righteousness. Okay, and the following verse, verse 20, sisters. Okay, here, the wooden and earthen vessels, wooden, are something of the fallen human nature. Okay? Verse 21, as brothers read. Amen. So again, you see, therefore anyone cleanses himself from these. Okay, last verse, this verse that we all know, let's read it together. Verse 22. But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lust. Did you see all these verses? We need to depart from unrighteousness. We should not be wooden and earthen. We should cleanse ourselves. And we should flee youthful lust. Students, many times what we do in school, in work, a lot of these things, perhaps they are not sinful, but they are not, they are worldly. They're not of God. And for this, we want to exercise ourselves to depart from all these things. God is holy. And of course, it's difficult, you will say. That's why we have the next point. Okay, point C. Let's read it together. Please highlight saturated. Saturated with God's divine element. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, right? We use this verse a lot, but we only kind of apply that related to the body, spirit, and soul are different, right? But here, God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. The Lord, the God himself wants to sanctify your entire being, your spirit, your soul, and your body. Right? Point A, it says God's intention is not to have good people in place of bad people. Whether we're good or bad, we need, how about a highlight? We need the elements of Christ added into us. So in Ephesians, we all know this verse, that Christ wants to make home in our heart. It's not about good or right or wrong, good or bad, but it's all about Christ wanting to make home in our heart and spread into every part. Okay. But I was considering this verse this morning, you know, regarding making home. Actually, making home is more serious than good and bad. You know, for example, this, you know, we've been here in Montreal for, this is our, what, third day. We're going to stay here for 5 days. What if I say to the brothers in Montreal, well, we're all going to make home here forever. They're going to talk to me and say, "This, you can't do that. That's not their home. That's not your home. That's the saint's home." So when someone enters into our home, if we want to make home, if we want to allow Christ to make home in our heart, that means he wants to occupy every part. He wants to make all the decisions. He has his feelings. He wants to permeate his feelings into our feelings. He wants to be our person. He wants to occupy our entire being. This is what it means that Christ wants to make home in our heart. Okay, and next, let's read the next verse. Sorry, the next point. God is the... Please highlight daily dispense. Are we receiving dispensing daily? Or we receive dispensing weekly, monthly, sorry, maybe yearly? Oh Lord, in order that He wants for Him to saturate us. Oh, He wants us to receive the dispensing daily. Right, in 1 Peter 1:15, but according to the Holy One who called you, you yourself also be holy in all your manners of life. 1 Peter 1:6 and says, because it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. We all have received a holy God in our being. And He wants to make us holy as He is holy. So this is my burden number two. We need to be sanctified by two things: separation and saturation. On the one hand, we depart from all negative things, right? All the negative elements, all the world, But on the positive side, we are being saturated with God. And let's turn to another verse. I'd just like to point this out to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. Okay, let's have the sisters read verse 3 and the brothers read verse 4. Amen. Okay, go. 4. Okay, verse 4, brothers. In verse 4, right, they think it's strange that you are not running together with them into the same flood of dissoluteness. This is the world that we're facing. This is the world that filled with all evil things. Right here, we just read lust, debaucheries, carousing, drinking bout, lawless, idolatries. All these things, this is what we're facing in this generation. Your friends are all doing that. The world is into this. And in fact, they think it's strange that you are not running together with them. Dear students, I just hope that we will realize through this point that we are sanctified. Separation and saturation. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are vessels unto honor. We're vessels that contain the God of honor, which makes you a vessel unto God, honor. And God is preparing us to become vessels unto glory. If we really see this point, really, it will change our living. We realize we do not belong to this world. The God of honor lives in me. Every day, I need to receive fresh and new dispensing. You know, every Friday night, when so many parties going on, where will you go? You know, in Lower Mainland, Friday night college meeting. That's always my burden. I grew up attending a meeting like that. Saved my life. I told my friend, sorry, I cannot go with you because I love the Lord too much. I need to be with the saints. Lord Jesus, save us. Save us from this corrupted generation. Sanctify us by flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Let's continue. Next, Romans number 3. Okay, let's all read it together. Okay, please highlight by the washing of the water in the word. So this is the next burden. You have to be beautified by the washing of the water in the word. On the one hand, washing, usually we refer to being washed by the blood, right? But here, this washing particularly is the washing of the water in the word. How about us read the next point, point 8, the Greek word. Okay. Amen. Okay, let's highlight the logos, the constant word. Rhema, which denotes the instant word. Okay, point one says both logos and rhema are the words of God, word of God, but the former is God's word objectively recorded in the Bible, while the latter is the word of God spoken to us in a specific occasion. Okay, here are verses. I just want to point it out to you, and then later I want to talk about a little bit more concerning the difference between rhema and logos. Okay, because in a sense they're different, but in another sense, we should be careful of putting a dividing line between them. Okay. Okay. First of all, in a clip more, Acts 15:15, and with this the words the prophets agree, even as it is written. Okay. Is it rhema or logos? Okay, logos, because it is something written, right? This word of the prophet agree, even as it is written. Okay. Acts 20:35. In all things I have shown you by example, that holding you in this way, we ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Here the words is rhema. They remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Okay. And another verse, John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and our life. Again, this word is rhema, an instant, a supply to you. Okay? However, okay, as I said earlier, many people will put a clear dividing line between logos and rhema. However, we need to be very careful about this because these two, now some people say, you know, the logos are the text, are the concept, black and white, the text, which rhema is the living word, the speaking in a very personal way. However, our burden here is that you would appreciate these two aspects and know this in your experience. But we want to give you a few examples that you will see how logos can be a help to you and how the logos could be turned into a rhema in a situation that helps you. Okay, so let's turn to a few verses. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Okay, John chapter 15, verse 3. Let's all read this verse together. Okay, test. What's the word here? Is it logos or rhema? Rhema? Okay, it's logos. Okay. What does this mean? This means this word, the logos, even the logos, has the effect of cleansing you. You know, don't think, oh, I just read, get some knowledge, and then in my experience, it will come back. No. As you're reading the word, That word can cleanse you. That word can wash you. Okay, let's turn to the next one. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Okay, let's read. Okay. But he answered and said, it is written, okay, this is the word here. Is it logos or rhema? Rhema. Somebody say logos. Exactly. So this is the point here. The Lord Jesus, okay, this verse, it is written. It is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Okay? It says, man live not by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceed out from the mouth of Jehovah. So in this situation, the Lord turned a word of logos into rhema. That means that day, before the tempter came to tempt him, he must have enjoyed the specific word. So that at that situation, he will turn that logos into a rhema to supply the need right there. Okay? Let's turn to another verse. That's interesting, eh? John chapter 6. Okay, let's read chapter 60. Chapter 6, verse 60. Many... Okay, this word is hard. What is this word? Okay, before that, the Lord gave him then a word concerning you need to eat me. You need to enjoy me. Okay? And the disciples' response is, this word is hard. Logos. Because at that point, even though the Lord is speaking rhema to them is logos. Is objective. They couldn't understand. Okay, and then later in verse 63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. This word is rhema. What does this mean? Oh, how much we need to exercise our spirit. The Lord can speak rhema to you. But to you, it's logos. The brothers can give a speaking to you here. The Lord's presence is here. But to you, to us, to some of us, maybe it's logos. It's just a theory, just a concept. Okay, now let's turn to another one. Matthew chapter 26. Okay, verse 75. Okay, let's read. Deny. Okay, go. Peter remembered the word. This word is logos or rhema? Rhema. You know, this is wonderful. The Lord spoke to Peter before he denied him three times. And that was perhaps a logos, a concept. Peter said, I'll never do that. I'll be strong. I won't deny you. But as soon as he denied the Lord, he remembered the word. And that word became a rhema to him. And Peter went, weep bitterly. You know, actually, I believe, more or less, that remembering became a supply to him. Eventually, how Peter can stand with the 11, can be recovered. It's all based on the rhema word that supplies him in that specific situation. Okay, let's continue verse point two. When we read, let's read it together. When we read the constant logos, please highlight the Spirit will touch our spirit and will shine on every word that we read. Okay. Okay, let's continue in the next point three. We need to okay, by highlight, by praying in spirit. Take the living word by praying in spirit. Okay. So with this point, I want you to write down two takeaway points. Number one, we need to read the logos. Number two, we need to pay attention to Rhema. And I would really encourage you. I know to read the Bible every day is almost like an impossible job. But I would really encourage you. Learn to read logos. There are all kinds of schedule there, right? Bible reading once a year, New Testament a year, with footnotes, 2 years. Get onto a schedule. Read the Bible. That logos can cleanse you. And when you're facing different kinds of environments, those logos will be turned into rhema to you. And that supplies you instantly. Okay. Recently I enjoy, regarding reading the Word, we need to read the Word, we need to have morning revival, we need to be in the Word in sweetness and in depth. And actually, sweetness also, it was originally written, actually, the word, it's in Chinese. It actually means tasty. When we come to the Word, don't you have a feeling this Word is tasty? This Word is so sweet. I just love to be in the Word. Every day, you know, we should be safe from reading the Word in a routine way. Every day, there's new light. Every day there's new supply. It has to be so sweet to us. And reading also in depth. You know, deeply in what does that mean? Actually, I like Emmanuel's, you know, earlier. That means when we're into something, in deep into something, time flies. Right? Whenever you read the Word to a point that you're not conscious about time, that means that's deep. Instead, you know, morning revival, 5 minutes. You know, sometimes when we're on Instagram, that's really deep. An hour, 2 hours. Oh, I gotta read that. We gotta see that story again. That's really, you know, when it is only when we come to the Word, we're not conscious about the time. But we're soaked with the Word of God. You know, this generation, a research recently, someone told me, someone spoke about it, that, you know, how many hours do we have in a day? 24, are you sure? Okay, a research told us that through today's social media and multitasking, you actually have 31 hours a day. You're doing multiple things, let's say, in 1 hour. This is very scary because that means you're the most distracted generation that can ever be. You know, phone. You know, I have everything on my phone because I need to reach you. I have Snapchat. I have WhatsApp. I have Facebook Messenger. I have Lines. I have WeChat. And many times it's so distracting. I have to turn off my phone in order to spend time with the Lord. don't ever multitask God. God requires our full attention. The dispensing only happens when we focus. The dispensing happens when we gaze and behold the Lord Himself. Anyway, I just feel like, this generation, only the Word can save us. Actually, I think I shared this in Edmonton before. I saw a picture posted on Facebook. It says, a picture of this generation. It says, socially connected, physically isolated, and mentally disturbed. Isn't that our situation? We're so connected socially. We're by ourselves. And we're so distracted. Thanks. Let's turn to the Lord. Gaze at Him. Read the logos. Experience the speaking of Rhema. That to save us from this generation. Okay, let's continue point B. The water. Amen. Referring to the flowing light of God. So this washing actually, it's God, it's nothing other than God Himself. Right? In John chapter 7:38, says, He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. As we come to the Word, we enjoy the Word, it is God Himself flowing, washing, and coming into us and flow out from us. Okay. Point C, let's read it together. The washing. Amen. Brothers and what? Sisters. Amen. Okay, please highlight. The water of life washes away, highlight blemish of natural life of our old man. Okay, and then later he says, wrinkles comes from oldness, and spots come from wounds. Okay, point B, let's read. The washing. Right. To realize that as we go on, every day, we're in the process of becoming old. I probably have more wrinkles than a lot of you because I'm older. Right? Many times, I am older, and then, sometimes the brothers got together. They want to play. They want to play basketball, and then sometimes some of them will get me, to join them. I always try to find all kinds of excuses. I didn't bring my shoes, But even if I did, sometimes it just takes me longer, right, to stretch, to get ready, right, and to play with them. That's a sign of what? Oldness. But how many of us are physically young, but actually spiritually old? Actually, I use an example in Vancouver quite a lot. So many times, students, we're all talking, so happy. And then someone say, let's have some prayer. Everybody's quiet. Because we're so old spiritually. It takes some time to get ready to exercise. Just like it takes some time for me to get ready to play basketball. Lord, save us from our oldness. If we're spiritually young, when someone say that, it should be someone immediately pray because we're so fresh in the world, right? And regarding spots, the Lord needs to heal us. Many times, yes, we have the blood to cleanse us, but at the same time, we realize there are spots. their wounds that's not completely healed. For that, we also need the washing of the water in the Word. We have such a good time here blending, but at the same time, we're also in the process of getting old if we don't exercise. Maybe we're hurt in the church life. We know the blood applied, but there's still feeling. I just can't get over it. What do we need? We need the Word. We need the washing of the water in the Word. It discharged all the negative elements so that God also at the same time infuse all that He is into our being. Okay. Amen. Let's read the next point. So, through such, okay. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's read the focus. Amen. Okay. Well, actually, there's one more point I would like to share. That's my last burden, is that we need to be built up as His bride. Regarding the matter of the bride, yes, this romance is personal. We need to enter into this romance by having a personal, intimate, affection, private time with the Lord. And also related to reading the Word, that's also personal. No one can read word for you, right? You have to read, we have to read our own logos to experience our own rhema. But over in terms of to have the bride prepared, there's also a corporate aspect. Here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, it says, "Let us rejoice and exult, and let us give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready." Eventually, at the end of the Bible, it is the wife that had made Himself ready. It is not you as an individual make yourself ready. But the wife, all of us, need to be built up together to become the bride of Christ, to marry with our bridegroom. And that's these verses we mentioned already in Song of Songs. Draw me. So what? We will run after Him, right? Flee youthful lust and pursue with those. So the principle is all the same. The Lord has to personally draw you. You have to make the decision to flee. But our going is to join all those who call on the name of the Lord. It is to run together with those also drawn by Him. So dear students, let's love the Lord. Amen. Not individually only, but corporately. Amen. This weekend, let's run this race together. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful bride preparation weekend. Amen. We can all be built up together. Amen. By being in the Word of God. Amen. Through the washing of the water in the Word. Amen. In this way, Christ's deep longing and good pleasure could be fulfilled, that God could be satisfied.